It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Midday Show. We are live today. Citizens Bank Park broadcasting from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth for the Phillies home opener. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian. We'll get back to all the tush-push conversation. The phone lines here in just a couple minutes. 215-592-9494. Also have tickets to give away to Thursday's games, Phillies-Rockies. But joining us right now in the booth, and I believe it's our third or fourth year doing this together, but now it's his YouTube debut as we're streaming live on YouTube.
We're on television.
That's right. Dan Fitzpatrick, the president of Citizens Bank with us. Dan, how you doing?
Great to be here, Joe. Opening day is special every year. Hope springs eternal, and we just love being here at Citizens Bank Park. Especially with you guys, with you and Joe. Thanks for all your support.
Well, we're happy to have you, and it's exciting to be here. And we had John Brazier on with us last week. He was telling us all the new stuff in the park, the LED lights. It's always – there's something special, Dan, about the start of a baseball season, but especially the home opener. It's like the first three games counted, but it really starts when you get the home opener.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a big day for the city, and it really is starting. We were talking about this earlier this morning, saying, hey, we all love celebrating our Eagles Super Bowl parade. Now we got to look forward to a parade on Broad Street for Phillies World Series championship. And that's what our owner, you know, John Middleton, is passionate about. That he wants his freaking trophy back, right? So that's what we're pleased. I mean, the Phillies are just such great partners for us at Citizens, and again, it's so important to have your name on the ballpark. It makes you the hometown bank. I'm a Northeast Philly guy, proud Father Judge graduate, state championships in basketball, state champs in baseball last year. So go Father Judge. A lot of good things happening there for young people across the city on workforce. But this is really important. This is about the Phillies and baseball and the relationship that we're fortunate to have at Citizens.
Well, one of the coolest things for me, just, you know, all the years, it still feels new to me. I know this is not a new park anymore, Dan. I mean, this has been here a while now, but coming here, I think maybe it's just every year adding some new things, but it just feels – I never have walked in here and felt like it's gotten stale. The Phillies do a great job of keeping it up. Now John was telling us of the LED lights. I mean, the scoreboard a couple years ago just feels like it's always – and not every park is like this. I mean, some of the newer ones have tended to get stale when I've been there. This one has never felt that way.
Absolutely. This is our 22nd year here at Citizens Bank Park with the Phillies. Just came out yesterday was USA Today, ranked number one ballpark in Major League Baseball at Citizens Bank Park. And, of course, the home field advantage we enjoy, right, with the crowds that we Definitely. Have in Philadelphia, you know, in Red October. Our last game here was a great Red October game. Unfortunately, we went back to New York, and those crafty lefties were tough on our lineup. But this is a new year, and with great aspirations and even better pitching.
As far as keeping the ballpark fresh and new, what are some of the new things here? Because I don't remember or recall last year seeing that scan to rent a charger station in there. So what is it like in off season when you try to keep the ballpark fresh? Do you like sit down with a bunch of different people and say, hey, What are some of the good things or new things that we would like to put in the ballpark?
Yeah, no, what we do, I mean, hey, this is the Phillies ballpark. We're a beneficiary to have our name on the park as citizens. But what they are committed to is making sure it is the best fan experience in baseball. And, again, digital, Hugh. To your point, everything's got to be digital. Everybody's on their phones. It's that instantaneous statistics, real game stats, pitch by pitch, literally, which takes a lot of power, right? So that's where it's about everybody's – you may be at the game, but you're still streaming activity at the game. So you got to have that digital connectivity as well as just the fun stuff. We were at the yard, you know, the wiffle ball park for both kids and adults. Everybody loves a good wiffle ball game.
Wiffle ball is
but
awesome.
It's that full experience, whether you want to be playing wiffle ball or analyzing the game on your phone. You've got to be able to do everything. And, of course, the food amenities just get better and better every year.
Well, we heard about the s'mores quesadillas, which my daughter...
S'mores quesadillas.
Well, I told her I was going to be here today. She was like, oh, I want...
You got to bring some home, don't you?
I have to. Yeah. I will. I will have to do that. So, Dan, what are you feeling on the team this year? You mentioned last year, great season, NL East champions. Unfortunately, it ended way too early. This year, you mentioned that pitching, which I think overall was pretty good to start the season with Wheeler and Lizardo. Nola was okay yesterday, but then the couple home runs got him. But today we see Sanchez. This pitching feels like it's going to be a reason to sit down at the park and really enjoy the team this year. Is every night they're going to have a good starting pitcher, or at least almost every night.
Absolutely. The pitching will be phenomenal, and that's without the X factor of Andrew Painter coming in around June. That's a big factor that was actually missed the last couple years. If you could have worked him into the roster over the last couple years, could have been a big impact in October, late in the game, right? So that's the thing. That's a big and our hitters. We obviously have a great hitting lineup. At the end of the day, you got to hit in October. You got to be a hot team in October, and that's where we've been a hot team in Octobers in prior years. It's about that randomness, right? We talk about it. I mean, it was so unfortunate for Aaron Judge, right? He went super cold in the World Series, right? So it does happen to even the best players in baseball, but that's what we got to do and just be balanced in our offensive attack so that we don't go completely cold in October, because the pitching's going to carry us a long way. And, it's going to be a really tough division, a really tough National League, but the Phillies with the pitching, that gives you that consistency throughout the season. So I think it's a really good chance for another division championship. And then anything goes here at Citizens Bank Park in October.
Speaking of offense, we were talking before we hopped on the air back for this segment about those torpedo bats the Yankees were using.
Yeah.
We need some here with the Phillies, the Citizens Bank Park.
Well, absolutely. We'll see. We'll see what they get the torpedo bats. But, I think we're going to have a great season that way. Power is important. About this, hey, this is a hitter's ballpark. We talk about having great pitching, but Citizens Bank Park is a hitter's ballpark, and hopefully we'll put up big home run numbers again with Schwarber and Harper, and obviously a great lineup there with Power. So let's just make sure we hit the lefties, right?
Yeah, that's been a challenge the first couple days. Luckily, we faced it right today. Dan, we appreciate you hopping on. Thank you so much. Yearly tradition. Enjoy the game, and it looks like the weather's going to hold up for
us. We're going to make it. We're going to get a game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're for it. The Phillies are absolutely the best organization to work with. The team. What we get to do in the community together outside of the ballpark is really phenomenal. So we're really fortunate to have the partnership we have at Citizens with the great people, the Phillies and the Phillies organization. So thank you, guys.
Well, we appreciate it. Dan Fitzpatrick, the president of Citizens Bank, joining us as he does for the home opener every single year. Thank you to Dan. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. For another Dan. Dan in Westchester joining us right now. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Dan. What's up?
You guys are great. And, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Tush Push. I'm mildly irritated at this, but I backed off of my original emotions a little bit because I thought, all right, the owners in the NFL are a private club, and they have a process for rule changes. And it's a difficult process in the sense that, you got to have the equivalent of a kind of supermajority to make it happen. And they can vote on a thing for whatever reason they want to. I think the only thing that would prevent them, from doing it is if their own fans were going to rebel. And that is not going to happen. The other thing that's not going to happen, this is not going to affect the Eagles that much. They're going to be successful. And I ran a little thought experiment for myself.
Okay.
And I said, hey, if Vic Fangio had to stop his own team from doing the Tush Push, what would he do? And I think he would not be very successful unless there was another rule change that allowed the linebackers to push.
What do you think about that, Hugh? If Fangio and the Eagles' defense, which was obviously the best in the league last year, if they had to try to stop the Tush Push, would they do it?
I think that they would have a chance to do it. As far as linebackers pushing that, nah. I think the best model –
good phone call. We appreciate it.
– to look at a team that could potentially stop the tush push is the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they stopped it. They stopped it this year. And they did it – I think they did it a couple times.
The game that we almost blew to them.
Yes.
They did it. Yeah.
And the thing that stuck out to me about that was that they were bigger across the front, like all the way across the board, from the front four to the linebacker core. They were a bigger group. So they gave them trouble. This is how I look at the tush push. Now, somebody asked me a while ago, like, if I had to go against it, would I be able to stop it? I mean, technically, if you want to get technical, if I was playing, I probably wouldn't be on the field if the tush push was being played, because I'm not that big of a defensive end, so I wouldn't be on the field.
Right, it's third and inches. They would take me off the field.
Yeah,
but if you were on the field, it's a humorous question.
Hell, that'd be a long ass day for me. Like, because you have so much girth in the middle of that line. You talk about Mulata. You talk about Cam Jurgens. Like, there's some big ass dudes in the middle,
that's
man.
That's the position.
A lot of girth. Yeah, dog, for real.
There's two parts. One, there's the part of they have Jalen Hurts, right? That
all of that.
And they have a great offensive line and a great teacher on the offensive line.
Think about it like this, Joe, because this is how I see it. I don't know if it's true or not, but most defenses that go against the Eagles are smaller, faster guys. I think the reason why the Jacksonville Jaguars had success is because they were like an old-school throwback defensive line. They were huge across the board, at least 300 pounds. Throughout all them cats. So I think that was an advantage there. Most teams are smaller. The Eagles are taking advantage of the fact that most teams have smaller defensive ends, or smaller defensive linemen for that matter.
Yeah. What it is, I understand the point of the owners could do whatever they want. It's their league. That's fine. But the guise of safety, the guise of, someone could get
BS.
Hurt.
It's Call BS. BS
the whole thing is
yeah,
BS.
BS.
And I think it is pettiness, because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. That's really what this comes down to. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right. We have with us right now, we're going to go to Rhea Hughes. She joins us, everybody. Her call in brought to you by Mattress Warehouse with exclusive bed match technology to find you the perfect mattress. Rhea on a home opener.
I was going to wing it.
Well, I didn't know if you had it.
I didn't have it, but I was about to wing
it,
though.
We'll figure it out.
I'd have figured it out
the
now.
The day
you know
in the home opener
out.
And potentially the last day of the tush push. Rhea, how are we doing today?
I am outstanding. And, Hugh, you wouldn't have been on the field because you weren't interested in stopping anything.
Rhea,
someone had to say it.
But, Rhea, I said it in the nicest way possible.
But you didn't say the truth.
You said it in a very good way, and I'm going, no,
I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, that was PR Hugh right there, trying to cover things up.
Yeah.
All right, Rhea, before we get to the Phillies, and we do have a lineup in the home opener today, what's your take on this situation? As it sounds like, and I know last week there were stories out there that, tush push is probably going to stay, not enough support, but it feels like it's building, and maybe tomorrow is going to be a closer vote than we anticipated. What's your latest thought on where we're at with the tush push?
Well, I mean, it's Sean McDermott. Was he there? Was he an assistant when you were there, Hugh?
Yes, he was, Rhea. And I'm ashamed and disappointed in Sean.
I was going to say, was he known as an outright hypocrite then?
Well, that's not the word that I was going to use, but
you can't use it in the AFC Championship game repeatedly, and by the way, fail at it, in the AFC Championship game, it was okay to put your players in harm's way, although you have no data to back it up. But you've done your own research, and you're going to get data anytime soon. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy. I can't believe it. When he was so adamant about his position, I just kind of looked. Me and Joe were talking. I was like, man, I'm more ashamed than anything, or disappointed, I should say. Yeah. I'm more disappointed than anything, because I believe that if you would have won that game, You wouldn't care. If
no,
you'd have got the tush push
care.
On that last play, you wouldn't be riding as hard as you're riding to ban the tush push.
Well, you're right. I mean, he would have run the tush push in the Super Bowl then.
Yes.
So it would have been even further what he did in the title.
Yes.
Game.
It would have been tush push versus tush push.
Yes. I'm with you. It's hypocritical on his part. And it just – when I hear, like, players could get hurt, but there's no data they have, you can't use that to make decisions. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Here's what I think. I think that what's the guy from Washington, Luvo?
Frankie Luvo, yeah.
Him trying to hurt Eagles players on the tush push is what I think really shined a light on this. I really believe that because, you know, you've got the official going, if this nonsense continues like he's your dad, I'm going to just give him a touchdown. I think the optics of that is what got people going, all right, this is ridiculous. But it was Freddie Luvo trying to hurt Eagles players on the play, not the other way around where, you know, the Eagles, you know, 3,000 pounds of tonnage are trying to hurt anybody else. I think that's what kind of drove this.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, okay, if they just came out and said, hey, it's not a great TV play. I know this morning Joe with you guys was saying it's not aesthetically pleasing. I may disagree. I may say that's not fair. But at least I would say, okay, I get what they're saying. They don't want this to be a boring play or something like the Luvu thing that takes over the spirit of the game. Okay, but when they're hiding behind the injury stuff, it doesn't add up. So we're going to have that vote tomorrow morning. We'll see what happens. Rhea,
I'm aesthetically interested in picking up first downs and touchdowns.
Me too. Yes, that's
I'm with you.
That's more important. And also, they don't even run it that much. It's like 0.28% of the plays.
And here's the other thing. Jeff Carr, you know Jeff Carr from CBS Sports.
Yes.
He had put the numbers out this morning. If they get rid of it, the Eagles are still going to be great at quarterback sneaks because they were great at quarterback sneaks.
Of course, and they have a quarterback that's good at pushing a pile because
they have a quarterback and they have an offensive line that can do it.
And they have Saquon Barkley. They're going to be okay. Yeah, they will be.
All right,
let's touch on some Philly. So the home opener today, Sanchez on the mound, 2 out of 3 over the weekend against the Nats. What stood out the most to you with the first three games?
Why am I blanking on his name? Jesus.
Lizardo.
I was so impressed with him. And what I loved most about him, besides the 11 strikeouts, he's got some fire to him. Like, you know, Zach Wheeler goes out there and he's just a killer. He is just out there, no emotion. He just goes through, you know, Aaron. I sometimes wonder if Aaron Nola has a pulse, but, you know, outside of Sunday's game, Aaron's been a very good pick. This guy's got a little fire in him, and I like that. I think if he can stay healthy, you know, I might have to re-change my thought on Dave Dombrowski didn't make any big moves in the offseason, because if this kid stays healthy and he added a pitch in the offseason, it could be huge.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And Rhea, to your point, he does have some fire to him. And I think he's trying to prove that because 2 years ago, he started one of those playoff games here against the Phillies. He looked like one of the best young pitchers in baseball. Yep. Then I don't know what happened last year. Back issue, his velocity went down. And you kind of look at his numbers last year like, they got a guy that had a 5 ERA. But Rhea, if he's the guy he was 2 years ago, then this rotation, which already was good anyway, I mean, you could throw out any of the first four and feel like on any day they're going to go 6 innings, 0 runs.
And then don't forget on Thursday you get Taiwan Walker.
I was trying to forget. Yay! I was trying to forget. We were all trying to forget.
He'll be better. He's going to be better.
Better?
Hopefully.
Oh, better than what?
Than what he was last year?
That's what I was about to say.
No one believes you.
I believe in speaking it into existence.
Yeah, okay. So do the Phillies. They're going to roll them out there.
That's why they keep rolling them out every fifth day when they need them.
We just holding it down to Painter get ready.
Yeah. Well, how about we win the first two before he pitches on Thursday?
That'll help.
Let's work on that. Rhea, the other thing this weekend is we saw the lineup. It was, and this is not atypical of the Phillies. It's kind of what they do. It was hit or miss. It was interesting when it wasn't the lefty starters for
lefty.
The Nats. They scored. I mean, I think they scored 19 runs off of the bullpen and then the starter from Saturday. But those two lefty starters, Rhea, opening day and then yesterday, they really shut them down.
Nothing. Yeah. They were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They stranded 10. You know, on the opener, they didn't until that. They ran up his pitch count. That's the one thing I did like about on Thursday. And I know Turner's numbers weren't great, you know, 0-for-4. But he saw like 14 pitches in his first two at-bats. And I was like, okay, if you could do it. And that helped run up, you know, his, Gore's pitch count.
Yes.
So, but, you know, I think if they continue to struggle against lefties, teams are going to start lining up their rotation, going, all right, we're facing the Phillies, we got to have the lefties in there. That was a little concerning.
Yeah, I mean, and it went on all 3 days, Hugh. If it was just opening day, you'd be like, all right. But it seems like there's a pattern here. Teams are going to throw lefties at the Phillies, and that's probably going to continue until Turner comes back. He's not in the lineup today. Castellanos, like, they need those righty bats, Hugh, to wake up.
Yeah, they do. And it's like you said, in the NFL, it's a copycat league. When teams know that you're struggling going against something, they're going to keep throwing it at you until you beat it.
Exactly.
Well,
except for the push, then they're going to take it out, you know, in a hotel boardroom.
Yes. The other thing I heard you guys talking about this morning, and as soon as I walked in today, Hugh was talking about it, those torpedo bats that the Yankees used this week.
Yep.
Rhea, we need some here. I want the Phillies to have torpedo bats.
So I have something for you on that. So there was an article in The Athletic this morning obviously talking about. There's a couple other players. There's a guy on the Twins who's using it, but they Matt Gelb contributed to the story. He didn't write the story. So he talked, it was an unnamed Phillies veteran slugger. So we can take a couple guesses.
Ooh.
Said that Eric Gagne, remember the closer Eric Gagne?
Yeah.
He's got a company that is doing a similar thing to what the Yankees are doing, and they brought the bats to spring training. The unnamed Phillies veteran slugger said he thought it was a fad until he saw what the Yankees did this weekend, and he called his bat guy.
Let's get that guy on the phone, and let's get these bats here ASAP.
I mean, it was the biggest story. Like, when it was going on, Rhea, my timeline was blowing up because people were trying to figure out was it legal or not. And then the story came out a little later saying that it is legal. They just shifted the weight of the bat because they said they found out. I'm sorry. You got it.
No, it's just odd, and they did it for Volpe? Because of that he was struggling. Aaron Judge doesn't use it, and he hit three of those home runs this weekend.
He doesn't need it. I think he's all right.
He could hit it with a wiffle ball bat.
Yeah. No, but they're cool. And it seems like, you know, it's just a lot. No one thought of it, obviously, until this MIT guy a few years ago. But, Hugh, you redistribute the weight where you actually hit
the ball. Yeah, because that's what they were talking about. Yeah. They hit it closer to the label.
Yeah, they look like softball bats where the weight is kind of longer and more distributed instead of just the big barrel in the middle.
And you don't think Major League Baseball, they always love when the offense is up.
Of course.
So, they used to say, I think the encouragement will be out there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, think about it. It's the first weekend of the season. What is everyone, like, casually talking about? The torpedo bat.
The torpedo bat, yeah. And everybody, everybody and their mama going to have one.
Oh, yes, right. They are. That guy just became a billionaire overnight.
Overnight.
And it's got a fun name. I mean, who doesn't love the name Torpedo Bat?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It is fun, and I'm excited for the Phillies.
You know what would be even cooler, Rhea and Joe, is the Torpedo Bats with the hatchet. The axe handles.
Oh, you want axe handles?
I want axe handle torpedo bats. That's what I want.
Sounds dangerous.
No, that's what I want, though. I just want the axe handle. I try not to be. I mostly talk violence. I don't really participate.
That part of your life is over. You're not playing football anymore.
You're a grown up now, at least in that aspect of life.
But I tell you what, if I was at those owners' meeting, I would have swung on somebody. Just or called them out their name. I'd have called somebody.
Well, you have 4 hours a day to call people
out. Dog.
Yeah.
I'd have called Sean McDermott a female dog.
Well, you kind of just did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you have his phone number.
No, I don't. But I know somebody that
does.
You
know what? Get it.
I'm texting Derek Boyko too.
Be like, that was real female dog. Is your coach, dog?
And McDermott's gonna have to turn his phone off after this week. Rhea, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the home opener. Always a special day. Thank you, Rhea.
You got it, guys. See you. Bye.
There she goes. Rhea Hughes joining us as she does every Monday. All right, back to the phones on the other side. I'm upset with the idea that the Tush Push ban is gaining momentum. What's your take on it? I'm actually angry. I'm angry at the NFL. I'm angry at Sean McDermott. I'm angry that this actually could happen for no reason.
I don't think it's going to happen. Speaking into existence, Joe. Be positive.
Well, I want to be, but I keep hearing all these people in the NFL saying,
this is what we're going to do. If who was it? Gannon?
Steichen and more.
Then we're gonna have to go see them. If they don't vote with us, we got to go see them three.
I was a Gannon guy when he was here. I wouldn't trust him as far as you could throw him. That guy's voting.
No, yeah,
Eagle.
He did. He did. He did do some nefarious stuff. But he was right.
Yeah, as Kyle called him yesterday, he's a weasel. All right, 215-592-9494. Your take on the Tush Push ban, which is up for a vote tomorrow. I'm angry at just the idea of the NFL banning it. Hugh's disappointed. You're taking all that. Plus, we'll go around some more of our takes from the Phillies. First weekend of the season, 2-1. Nola, not so good. Lizardo, really good. The lefty situation. We'll get to all that. 215-592-9494. And we do have for you, we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Thursday game against the Rockies. We'll tell you about that coming up as well. 215-592-9494. We're live, Citizens Bank Park, for the home opener. It's a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green, they back it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy, they'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant. Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah. We can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay. Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Well, the rain is not here, which is great. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, we are live at Citizens Bank Park. Yeah, no, Hugh, no rain. It's cloudy. And a little windy, but it's kind of warm. And right now, no rain. Let's keep this up all the way through the game.
Yeah,
today.
I got a weather report that said the rain's not going to come in. It's not going to be real heavy till like 6 o'clock. Seven o'clock. As long as we get the game in before six, we'll be fine.
I think we'll be good. With the pitch clock, we're in and out of here in 2.5 hours. Yeah. No worries there. 3:05 first pitch. We're live at Citizens Bank Park, broadcasting from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, the Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. Of course, on the air and on YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube live every day, 6A to 6P. WIP now streaming live on YouTube. Check out our page 94 WIP on YouTube. All right, so Hugh, before we get back to the phone lines on the tush push.
Tush.
And it sounds like the ban is certainly possible. We're trying to count up the votes, right? We need 9 votes against this. If we get 24, votes to push this out,
yeah,
it's going to be gone. Yeah, we're good. We're in trouble. So we're counting the votes and trying to see which coaches are maybe leaning the Eagles' way. We'll continue that later in the show. Devin Candy's going to join us. We will have for you coming up at noon a pair of tickets to the Phillies and the Rockies Thursday afternoon. We'll tell you how you can win those coming up in just minutes. Devin's going to join us. We'll have the guys from the afternoon show at 1 for a longer crossover because their show today is kind of taken by the Phillies. And Big Game Dante, our anthem singer, later
Big
in the
game
show.
Big Game Dante.
To start the season off the right way. But, Hugh, the Phillies are 2-1 on the season. What hit you the most from the first three games?
They got the two wins. There's a lot of similarities to last year. I get that. But that was it. Hey, man, you got to start somewhere. And, the big story, what everybody's talking about, the dismantling of the daycare. Mm. Everybody being all serious and whatnot. I look at it like this, man. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that as a player, you look at some of the similarities that you're having from last year, and you want to make sure that you stay locked in. You know, it's great that you won. It's great that you got out to a 2-1 start. But I looked across the ledger. Dodgers, what, 6-0?
I think 5. Because they won the 2 in Japan.
Yeah,
they might as well be 6-0. They're probably winning
the
next game.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Of course.
And when you look at that, your biggest thing right now is, and I'm not looking ahead, but you know as a player, you see some of the similarities from last year, and you know how most fans feel. They're looking at the postseason. Because, you know, like just like I got my hands crossed right now, people are saying, well, I'm not impressed. They look like they did last year. You know people are saying it. They look early. They can't hit lefties. They're relying on the big bopper all the time and all this other good stuff. So it's a lot of similarities to last year. So people are just waiting to see what happened. But as a player, you look at that and you try to every day improve. So there's no room for celebration. That's kind of how I look at it.
Let's listen to Bryce Stott. Hugh, you mentioned the daycare having to grow up here. It was interesting. Stott, after the game Saturday, Stott had a big game Saturday, a double and a home run. That home run really kind of sort of changed that game on Saturday, and the Phillies ran away and won that one for the second win in the series. Let's hear Stott Saturday after the game talking about how the daycare, it's kind of time to grow up here.
Are you guys not doing the post-game water celebration?
No, Marsh left yesterday, so I was like, okay, I guess I'm not doing it either, so I guess we'll see.
But it's not like you decided
no,
to serve
or not. No, we didn't talk about it. Not yet.
It does, and I don't know if this was actually a vocal thing that it's time for them to grow up, but I feel like they're at the point in their careers where they understand, like, it's put up or shut up time. And as the rest of the team, the core of the team, gets a little bit older. And it's just natural that if the stars maybe take a little step back collectively, they need those other guys, right? The Stotts, the Marshes, the Bohms, to take a step up. And then it all kind of evens out.
Well, I think it's more businesslike. I just think it's a more businesslike approach. I think last year, you know, you got off to the start that you wanted, and it was all kumbaya, and everything was excited. I think the reality of the situation has weighed on a lot of people. They didn't change anything. Alec Bohm's name was mentioned a lot in the offseason as far as trade rumors and things of that nature. That don't go away. When you know that you're one of the cats that they were seriously thinking about trade, I mean seriously, and you didn't get traded and you're still here, that's a different kind of weight. Now you're expected – your board's expected of you. So you have to go out there – and 162 games, you have to be locked in for all of them. Because you know, I mean, as a player, you know what last year's outcome was.
Yep.
And you know how the season started. So every day that you go out there, you're trying to make sure that you're getting ready for the end of the season. Not so much the beginning. You want to do well during the course of the season. But you get ready for the end, and you want to stay locked in for that.
So the daycare hits you the most. Here's what hit me. The pitching for this team, it's going to be really good, but Luzardo could take it to another level. Rhea mentioned him when she was on with us a few minutes ago. I thought he was electric. And, Hugh, I wasn't sure we were getting. Like, in theory, Luzardo is a great pickup, right? Because 2 years ago he was really good, and he's still young. But last year he had a back issue, and he pitched to a 5 ERA. And then in spring training, his numbers weren't great. So I went into it with, let me see what he does, right?
Yeah.
If he's the guy he was 2 years ago, it is an awesome pickup for the Phillies. And I love what I saw on Saturday. He had 11 strikeouts in 5 innings, and yeah. Rhea's right. He brought a little energy to the mound. Like, he was, like, pumping his fist after a strikeout. He seems like a guy that is going to be – he's going to love pitching here because he played for the A's and the Marlins in his career so far. He strikes me as someone who's probably never played or pitched in front of a huge crowd in a huge game.
And this place is going to get the jump.
Yeah, and I think the people are going to love him, and he's going to love being here. I loved what I saw. Nola – look, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. One bad start, couple home runs. We know what Nola
is. I mean,
he was
doing his thing until that fourth inning, and then it just got out of hand for him.
Yeah,
look,
if he has a bad month, then I'll start to worry a little bit. But I Aaron Nola has been for a lot of years very similar to what he always is. I'm not that worried about it. As far as the bats against the lefties, Hugh, that's a good point, and it's one you called it a copycat league. Teams are going to – like that starter yesterday for the Nationals, he's actually their fifth starter, but they started him in the third game so he could face the Phillies.
Yeah.
Teams realize the Phillies could be susceptible against lefties because Marsh doesn't hit lefties. Stott hasn't hit lefties much. And until Turner comes back, and by the way, Turner not in the lineup today, and until Real Muto gets going and Castellanos, they're going to struggle against lefties.
Just like the Tushbush is called a competitive edge. Everybody's trying to get one. So if you want to start your lefty, you want to change the order up just because you're playing the Phillies because you know that they're struggling against lefties.
Yep.
Know what you have to do as a Philly? You got to make them pay.
You do, and that they need those right-handed bats to make them pay. Kyle, what hit you the most from the Phillies over the weekend? 2-1 here as they get ready for the home opener here today.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to rub some people the wrong way with this one. Mm-hmm. But Kyle Schwarber continues to prove that he's the true and best leadoff hitter for this baseball team. I mean, he's jumping all over everything. He's been the Phillies' best hitter so far to start the season. He's batting like 385. And, I mean, it's, I guess, circumstantial that Trey Turner being out of the lineup has forced him to have to be up there for like, every game so far. I mean, it's just been two more that Trey normally would have been the leadoff. But, I mean, Kyle Schwarber's just crushing the baseball. And you can see that when the guys at the bottom of the lineup are getting on base, then there's still plenty of RBI opportunities for Kyle Schwarber at the leadoff spot. And everyone gets obsessed with the home runs in the four hole. I mean, he hit a three-run home run when guys at the bottom of the lineup got on base. So I'm still pushing the Kyle Schwarber leadoff agenda.
Well, he'll be there today. Phillies lineup here. Schwarber leading off at DH. Bohm's hitting second today at third. Harper at first batting third. Real Muto back in the lineup. He had he bruised his foot Saturday, didn't play yesterday. Mm-hmm. So JT's catching batting fourth today. Kepler in left field batting fifth. Castellanos sixth in right field. Stott seventh at second base. Marsh eighth in center. And then Mundo Sosa batting ninth playing shortstop. So that's back-to-back games, or actually three games now, that Trey Turner in a row won't play. It's kind of weird, the Turner thing here, because at first it said back spasm Saturday, but then he said that it started out as a hip thing and became back spasm. So this is three straight games he'll miss. They're off tomorrow. If he's back in the lineup Wednesday, no big deal. Let's just all move forward. If he's not there Wednesday, I'm going to have a little concern.
Sound like a little sciatica to me, because that's where it really starts. It's like, as y'all can see me on camera, it's like at the top of your butt cheek, right? I'm assuming that's where it's at, because that's where I have mine. It's like at the top of my butt cheek, and every now and then it go up my back. So that's probably what it is.
Now, could you play through it, or is it like when you had?
Not like when I was younger, but not now.
Well, you know, you're not in your prime anymore.
Yeah, I ain't about to do that.
Yeah, you were telling me about some bad guac you had this weekend.
No, I thought it was bad guac. It was
this guy used to rack up sacks in the NFL on a break. He's telling me he had some guac this week.
No,
he almost died.
No. Kyle,
Hugh Douglas is not the guy he used to be.
We've lost him.
It was Greek yogurt. But here's the kicker, though. When I started eating it, it tasted funny. But I didn't sprint it like halfway through the guac. And I'm like, this guac might be bad.
Are you telling me that you mistook Greek yogurt for guac?
No, it was Greek yogurt that had guac. Guacamole in it. Well, no, wait a minute. It was guacamole.
It was part of the ingredients.
But Greek yogurt, it was made with Greek yogurt.
For the creaminess.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
No.
But he ate half the thing before he knew what he ate.
I was hungry, and I'm eating it right. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, damn, this guac don't taste right. And I was like, this guac is bad. Yeah, because I was hungry. And I was like, this guac is bad. I'm about to die. And then I looked at the label, and it said guacamole made with Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the hell does that?
Did you buy it yourself?
I bought it.
You didn't look at the label.
Because it was guacamole.
That's
my.
You're blaming others?
This is how you became plant-based, too. You didn't read the label.
It was guacamole. It was guacamole.
It's like when you bought the butter. Okay. You became plant-based because you didn't read the label.
First of all, this is why I get overwhelmed when I go in the store. Because I was at the Trader Joe's, and I said, oh, I want some guac and chips. They got all this guac over there. It's guac.
But it's labeled.
It said guacamole.
And I'm sure at some point it said the Greek
yogurt.
Well,
it was off to the right of the thing.
Okay.
And I'm eating it, and I'm like, this ain't that good. I mean, it's an acquired taste. Because obviously somebody.
It sounds disgusting.
Somebody's eating it. It was not good.
Fanatic,
but I was hungry.
The fanatic just rolled up.
Fanatic just rolled up and flashed us.
Yep.
This ain't Mardi Gras.
He's in mid-season form. He's ready to go. All right, 215-592-9494. I think it is ironic, by the way, that we are sitting in our broadcast booth. Right, do you see what food stand is right across from us?
What's that?
The plant-based
greens
food stand.
Greens and grains?
Yeah, that's plant.
That wasn't there before.
No, it was. It's the last couple of years. But that's
That plant-based
you.
That Charger was not
that's
there last year.
Now, that is not. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Your thoughts on the Tush Push. Angry, annoyed, disappointed. Where do you come down as the Tush Push could be less than a day away from getting banned? And your biggest take on the Phillies over the weekend here. James in Southwest Philly. What's up, James?
Yeah, I want to say about the Tush Push real fast. If they're going to ban Tush Push, then they should ban the defense jumping over the line of scrimmage. They should ban that. And I think they should keep it. They just mad. They just mad, boo-hoo, because the Eagles run it better than everybody else. And I'm going to say this real quick. They talk about the injury factor. How come Jalen Hurts never got hurt and he's on the bottom of it?
Well, there's never been – James, with that, there's no data anyone gets hurt. The Eagles run it all the time.
All the time.
There's never been a debilitating injury
from this.
Like, we would know. Right? If the Eagles' offensive linemen were going down or Jalen got a concussion, we would all know. And guess what? If they were getting hurt, we would say stop using it as much. But that doesn't happen.
Don't happen.
That's right. Can I say something about the Phillies real fast?
Yeah, of course.
If winning is the ultimate goal, why do people get mad at the way they win? They're not going to win the way we want them to win. As long as they win, it shouldn't make a difference how they win. If they hit home runs, if they hit base hits, if they hit long ball, short ball, if winning is the ultimate goal, no matter how you get to the finish line and achieve that goal, it shouldn't make a difference.
What's up? I can answer that question.
Go ahead. Hugh's got it.
But we get mad because they don't win the way we want them to win.
Ooh, can I answer the question for you?
Yes.
Because it's eerily similar to the way that they went out last year. I totally understand where you're coming from, but a lot of fans are looking at it like, okay, this is how it started last year. You know, survive, live and die by the long ball. And, you know, at the end of the year, the bats went cold. So we have a little bit of PTSD when it comes to that. I'm with you. I'm a win is a win guy. But I also understand how other people feel when they see that, though.
I get it, but you got to do it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If the long balls was working for them, they had a power outage.
That right there is what makes people nervous.
Yeah, well, of course. And James, good phone. I think there's just overall skepticism because they didn't change much of the team. So you wonder if the story is going to end the same, right?
Like, I can't help but to wave at the people, man. The people
no, you can wave. Wave whatever you want.
It just looks weird.
So for everyone watching on YouTube, Hugh's waving to a lot of people. And today makes –
they're waving.
No, today
makes – getting distracted again.
Well, yeah, he is.
I'm distracted every day.
But today makes more sense to wave because over the next few hours, thousands of people will walk by and wave. In our studio, it's the same people every day.
I'm a friendly person. Not well.
No, you're not.
Yeah, don't lie.
I'm not.
What are you talking about?
Now you're being Sean McDermott.
No.
Now you're just lying to people.
No, I'll wave.
Hugh McDermott over here.
No, I'll wave.
Lying.
I just don't speak a whole lot. I'll wave, though.
This is actually form of hype.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, I'll wave, but I'm just not a fan of small talk.
I think today's the day to wave. Again, in the studio when you said hi to the people that were not there.
That was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Buddy was right beside me.
The Fanatic's riding by again. You can say hi to him.
No, he doing his thing.
Yeah, he's warming up. All right, let's go to Scott, King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Scott. What's going on?
So I'll start with the Tush Push. So I hate the play. I've never liked the play, and I won't be upset if it goes away. But I don't think it's fair, the process in which they're choosing it. I mean, you can't just make it go away because a bunch of guys are crying about it and because they can't stop it. So while I hate the play and I don't mind if it goes away, I think there's got to be a better way to do the process than just having people vote.
Yeah, Scott, I agree. It feels like a lot of people around the NFL want it out, but they haven't come up with a unified reason why. It's like, what do we do? Injuries? Well, they came out and they said there's no data on injuries, but then McDermott's doubling down on the injuries. It doesn't make sense.
He basically said, I said what I said.
I said what I said. I don't have any data, but that's okay. We don't need that.
Yep, and while we're talking about competitive advantage, I'll switch over to the Tornado Bats. I'm pretty blown away by these. I mean, if you take a really good look at them, they're just, if you think about how many times you see like a cue ball hit in baseball, it's pretty rare. But then think about how many times people get jammed, and the number goes up substantially. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they took about an inch off the end of the bat and just slid it towards the barrel, making the barrel bigger, but still staying within the specs of Major League Baseball. So there really isn't anything that Major League Baseball is going to be able to do, in my opinion, this year with the torpedo bats. But these bats, if they're left the way they are, they could change the game and statistics as we know them.
Yeah, so I saw some stats over the weekend, Scott, before anyone realized what was going on with the bats. And it was like the first couple days, the amount of fly balls that were becoming home runs was way higher than normal. And it was a small sample. It was like 2 days.
Yeah.
But like, it was like out of control.
But it got enough. It was enough to get the people talking.
Yeah, well, but then people started to look at the Yankees part of this and the torpedo bats and a few other players. Scott, I think you're right. I think if people across the league use these all year, we could see some ridiculous home run numbers.
And just something else to think about, too. In baseball, we are always looking for a competitive advantage. I guarantee you, in fact, I know that these bats are on the way to the Phillies right now. I know that for a fact. And within 2 weeks, you're going to see players on every single team using these bats. Not every player, but you will see a few players on each team.
Agree with you, Scott. Scott, good phone call.
What are you giggling about over there?
What just happened?
Well, he's talking about the torpedo bats.
We've been talking about it all morning.
But he wants to chime in.
But he's telling us what we've been talking about.
No, hold on. Hugh, how long have we been doing this?
Okay, fine.
He just wants to give his take.
I'm just, Kyle, we had a whole conversation about this week.
I mean, hold on. We're on the air for 4 hours, and some people might be tuning in and out.
Okay,
they might
I'm
not
sorry.
Know if something's been said.
Okay, fine. Yeah. You're right.
This happens every single
day.
But
you know what?
Why was it so jarring to you?
But no, because it's like we did our homework a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you saying like Scott does his homework too?
No, but we. Okay, fine. You're right, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Okay,
hold on. It's just you know it's just one of them situations where we talked about it and you telling me what we just talked about.
Well, he just wanted to give his take. Let me ask you a question, because he brought something to the table a little bit different.
What did he bring
up?
Well,
he thinks, and I think we all agree, that this is probably going to be on every team pretty quickly, right?
Okay.
But then he went to...
Will you stop?
I'm being a little nudge today.
I'm sorry.
We repeat ourselves constantly.
This is you.
No, I don't.
This is you.
Yes, we do.
That's who this is. All right, hold on. He kind of led us down the path that what if... Because baseball has approved of this, and they're not going to be able to change anything until next year. Like, let's say next year they say, maybe this wasn't a good idea. Are we prepared as fans for a wild season of a ton of home runs? Because that certainly could happen.
If I'm not mistaken, because a lot of the stories were scoring was down, home runs was down, right, in Major League Baseball last year, just like scoring was down in the NFL. This is good for the game.
So you like this?
Well, this is what happened because – When we were talking about it, it was a story that popped, and I was like, huh, the timing of this is phenomenal, because initially everybody thought that this was something that just happened. It didn't. This they had these bats last year.
But now
more people are using them, and it's great for the game because that was the whole story all weekend long, and it's not illegal. So I don't see if it's anything that's bringing eyes to baseball in a time where, you know, people aren't really watching as much, then how can it be bad?
So you're a Chick Sting the long ball guy.
Didn't people want to watch baseball because of the long
Listen,
ball?
Listen, that was when I was a kid, was the steroid era. That was when I became a fan. I like home runs. I think this is good for baseball, but there's two sides to it. One, it's great. The Phillies probably hit more home runs, but if you're Aaron Nola, you're probably like, bleep, I give up a lot of home runs anyway, and now these guys are going to have torpedo bats.
Who was the guy that the Yankees were playing that got rocked? He didn't have a problem with it.
Oh, Cortez?
But I will say this. He looked like – who was the old coach – who was the coach that was for Jacksonville said Duval that looked crazy when his eyes – he got the – no, the
Cohen.
Coach that had the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coach, He kind of looked like he had the crazy, like he was punch drunk after. Well, after they hit so many.
If they're hitting home run after home run, you probably feel punch drunk. Kyle, you like this? If we get a season where the torpedo bats lead to a crazy amount of home runs, you in or you out?
I guess I'm in. I just wonder if some of these guys are kind of going to use it as more of a crutch as opposed to trying to improve their game in that aspect. Like, I think about a guy like Alec Boehm, who we'd like to see more home runs out
sure.
of. It feels like this is just something that he might want to lean on this season, and then if they ban it, then what's he going to do? So I don't know. That's sort of where my head goes with it.
I don't think that they're going
to
ban it, though.
So to Scott's point, the cat is out of the bag for this year. I doubt they'd be able to do it. Like, if it becomes too much, maybe next year they say, hey, let's fix this. But it sounds like we are in the torpedo bat era.
I tell you what, and this is how I look at it, because it's all about revenue, right? And they make a ton of money in baseball. If the torpedo bats will get the average person to watch because they want to see if it changes.
Well, that was the steroid era. They let steroids go for years.
How was that a bad thing?
I don't think it is. It will. The game will be different. I mean, it will.
And you have some old folks that's going to be mad about, oh, it ain't the game. Nah, dog, it ain't supposed to be. The folks that watch the game that you watch dying, they dead. They dying off. I mean, it's the truth. The baseball has been losing fans for years, and now they're trying to figure out ways to bring young fans in. If this is the way to do it, then why not?
Well, a couple of years ago, they intentionally changed the game with the pitch clock and the bases
and
do this.
Bigger bases that. So if this inadvertently brings more fans to the game, then why not?
Listen, I'm in. But I do think if it hits the way it hit this weekend, it will change the game. There will be more runs. There will be more home runs.
And people are going to watch. Because most people say – that baseball is a slow game. So now if you're having a game where a bunch of guys got these torpedo bats and they're just launching them out the park, you don't think people are going to watch
that? Yeah, no, they will. No,
and to see the pitchers melt down and start complaining about the torpedo bats, you don't think nobody wants to see that?
Yeah. Now, I'm in. But we need to be prepared. Aaron Nola might set the record for most home runs allowed. He allows 30 home runs anyway. Now we got torpedo bats. All right, 215-5.
Yeah, Adam Gase. That's what we're.
Oh, Adam Gase. 215-592-9494. That's the hop on the phone lines here. Tush Push, your reaction to the idea this could be banned tomorrow. I'm angry about it. Huge disappointment. Where do you come down? We will, of course, keep talking to Phillies. We're here at the home opener. Devin Caney will join us at 12:30. Afternoon show will hop in at 1 for a crossover. Big game Dante in a little while for the national anthem. And I'll get to another observation I had following everything that happened this weekend with the Phillies. Plus, right now, let's give you guys a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Phillies-Rockies on Thursday. Caller number 3 to our contest line, 215-988-1258. That's the contest line, 215-988-1258. Wins the tickets. Caller number 3 right now, pair of tickets, Phillies-Rockies on Thursday. We're live at Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spring is in the air, and you know what else is in the air? The smell of the grill firing up. It's time to take cooking outside again, people. Picture this. In your backyard, a juicy marinated tenderloin is on the grill from Hatfield, of course. And on the flat top, of course you have some Hatfield bacon sizzling to perfection. Now that's the spring that I'm talking about, longer days and food with family and friends. Run to simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail locations near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.